Good morning and welcome, especially to our online watchers today. You know, we're going through a rough time, as of course you're all aware, but I am so encouraged and I am so blessed to have this church community, this family around me of people that are staying so connected and coming together through this. It is so encouraging. I'm so grateful for all of our ministry teams, whether it's our kids ministry or youth ministry or small groups ministry or the praise team, the tech team, all the different teams that are working together through this. And I believe God's going to make us stronger through this ordeal, however long it lasts, however rough or tough it may get. So I'm grateful to be with you here today. You know, when I open a sermon for you, I usually provide illustration to get your attention, to raise the need within you for what I'm about to say, to show you its relevance to your life. But this morning, I don't need to do that. The coronavirus and its fallout in recent days with all the cancellations and the closings and the illnesses is very in your face, and it's got you concerned. The question on most people's minds is, how do I protect myself, my loved ones? How do I keep us safe and make it through this ordeal without getting sick or going under financially? Today, I don't bring you statistics or medical information or 401k tips, as important as that might be. Actually, today, I bring you something even more basic, something more foundational, ultimately more helpful than even a vaccine or a cure. Today, I bring you words from God that carry comfort and wisdom and hope, words of truth, words of help and health and encouragement. My message is based on the lyrics of a song that was just read to you a few minutes ago by our executive pastor, Chris Bordeaux. It's a song, the lyrics are found in the Bible. It's Psalm 91. It's in the Old Testament, and I would encourage you to open your Bible. If you have a paper Bible, that might be preferable. Open it to Psalm 91. It's roughly in the middle of your Bible, and it's one of the most comforting passages of Scripture that you'll ever read. It's just perfect for, I think, the situation we're in today. The title of our message is The Safest Place on the Planet. This is a place that everyone wants to be today, the safest place on the planet. Today you're going to learn how to find shelter and rest and security in the safest place on earth, a place of protection, a place of peace where you can flourish and you can know God. Let's look at this safe place. It's in the first two verses of the psalm. He introduces us, the writer introduces us to this safe place. He says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Notice carefully, the writer, who's anonymous here, speaks of a location. He's talking about a place. He speaks of it as a shelter, a refuge, a fortress, a place you can go to find rest and protection from God. It's a place that has sheltered me and rescued me countless times. Maybe you're thinking, well, where is this place? How is it that I can get to this safe place? Well, here's the beauty of it. This place is accessible anywhere, anywhere on the planet, and even beyond. Whether you're at home, or at school, or at work, or at the store, or in the hospital, or sitting on your couch looking at your screen. But here's the paradox about this place. Though this place is everywhere, not everyone is in this place. Notice this safe place is experienced only by a person who is named whoever. Did you notice that? It's the way the psalm opens up. It's the very first word. Whoever dwells in the shelter. In other words, this is the place, if you are this whoever person, where you live, where you hang out, where you live your life, and it goes with you wherever you go. You want to learn more? Well, stick around. Please notice, first of all, two images, and each of these images is made up of two words, okay? Two images with two words each. The first one is, I'll call it image A. He says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And so shelter and shadow is the first image. And these two words are used elsewhere in the Old Testament of the place a baby bird rests under its mother's wings. Under mom's wings is safety and shelter. Have you ever watched a Canadian goose mother protect its little chicks? I walk out at Stony Creek Park a lot, and there are all these Canadian geese all over the place. And right around this time of year, there are often these little chicklets following along behind the mother. And if you try to get near to get a picture or something, that mother goose, she just steps right out, starts coming toward you, hissing and looking menacingly at you. It's like, you stay away. You're not getting anywhere near. Even if it means trouble for me, you are not getting near my little kids here. Well, that's just a goose. But in Psalm 91, the parent bird is God, and you are the baby chick. The Hebrew word translated shelter here, I love it. It can refer to a secret place, a place you go to hide, a hiding place. But in this case, it's a place where you go to be alone with God. You may not be alone physically. You could be in this place while at the same time you're in a big crowd. But you have access to this shelter, this secret hiding place where you and God communicate together no matter what's happening around you, like the baby chick with its mom. That's the first image. The shelter, the place where the baby chick rests under the wings of its mom. That's image A. Image B is the refuge, the fortress that we see in verse 2. Picture yourself running into this fortress for shelter. You're running away from an enemy who's trying to harm you. But when you get into this place, you are safe. You close the door and he can't get to you. You're secure. You're protected. No enemy can reach you here. You're in the refuge. You're in the strong fortress. You say, okay, but what exactly is this shelter? this secret place and fortress? Well, this place is not so much a what as it is a who. Notice, he says there in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. This place is not a hospital, it's not a literal building, it's not a church building, it's not a house, or anything that you could lose, anything that you could be dragged out of, or something that could burn down. This refuge is God Himself. And of course, God is everywhere. Please observe, in verses 1 and 2, we find no fewer than four titles or names of God here. First, there's Most High, that's El Elyon in Hebrew. And then the Almighty, El Shaddai. And then Lord, L-O-R-D in all uppercase letters. That's Yahweh, God's personal name. And then Elohim, which translates God. Here it's my God. This is God four times. God times four in this verse. The writer is trying to make a point here. And his point is God is the ultimate place of safety for all time. And yet, not everyone is in this place or finds this place or knows even where to look for it. Not even all Jesus followers. Some may run into it occasionally, but verses 1 and 2 is talking about the person who dwells in this place, who shelters in this place, who rests there and resides there. He occupies this place 24/7. And the remainder of this psalm describes what this place is like. The word here that's translated dwells in verse 1 is actually a Hebrew active participle that conveys continuous action. It could literally be translated whoever is dwelling in this place. So it's a place where you reside. It's a place where you hang out continually. That's what happens for this whoever person. If you want to be that whoever, I certainly do. Well, let's keep learning about this. Who is this whoever person? Are you? Are you this whoever person? You say, well, I'm not so sure. I mean, after what you just described, I realize I struggle with fear and stress, especially now, at this time. A lot of stressful things happening. Well, I can relate to that. I struggle too. You know, I visit this place often, and it's so refreshing when I do. But I want to live there. I want to be there more often. I want to be there 24/7. I want to rest there continually. Because every time I leave this place, I start getting stressed out. I'm not there as much as I would like to be or should be. But I'll tell you, I've been there enough to know the way. And I'd like to share with you today about this place. Maybe it's familiar to you, or maybe you've never been there before. Either way, let's learn about it together. Actually, the New Testament reveals much more about this place. Turns out that this place is Jesus Himself. Look what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus is speaking. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Remain. The Greek word translated remain here is the word meno. It means to stay. It means to dwell. It's the same place that we saw back in Psalm 91. Jesus is talking about that place, and he's identifying himself as that place. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed as the Most High, the Almighty. Jesus is Yahweh in human flesh. Jesus is God. And notice that in John 15:4, that this is a command. Jesus says, remain in me. It's something we need to consciously do, to remain, to abide. You could use that word, to dwell in Jesus as he does in us. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Think about that for a minute. He remains in you. If you're a Jesus follower, he remains in me. But the question is, do I remain in him? That's the kicker here. So this is something that not every Jesus follower is necessarily doing. It's available to every Jesus follower, but we're not necessarily doing it, but we should do it because he tells us we should. It's something we need to practice. It's something we need to get into the habit of doing. It's something we need to get good at. Jesus is the shelter of the Most High, the shadow of the Almighty. He is the secret place, the hiding place where you find safety and security and purpose and rest. Jesus is God's safe place. Let's see if we can enjoy that place right now, wherever you are, whether you're sitting in front of your screen at your house or maybe listening to this later in some other place. Let's see if we can enter this place right now. Will you go there with me? I'd like to be there right now. What do you say we go together? Lord God, Most High, Almighty, Jesus, as we study this safe place, may we also enter it. May we also enter it for refuge and rest and shelter. May we do more than just learn about it. May we live it. It's a scary time for us right now. We want to be in that shelter, that shadow. We want to be under your wings, Lord. Amen. What I'd like to do right now is show you from the rest of Psalm 91 three benefits of living in the shelter, the safest place on the planet. They're there on your outline if you happen to have it from the online resources. Three benefits of living in the safest place on the planet. The first is ample safety features. Ample safety features. Pretend you're in the market for a new home. You're looking around, and the real estate agent is showing you a home that you've been told is the safest, most restful place on the planet. Maybe you're a little skeptical when you've heard that. But outside, as you're going into this home, there is a storm that is booming and rumbling, and lightning is flashing, thunder is quaking. But as you walk into this house, you immediately sense a peace like you've never known before in any other place. It's all of a sudden like the storm is on mute. That's the safe place that we're learning about here. That's Jesus. But as you walk in and you sense this peace, you wonder, well, why is this? Where does this come from? Why does it feel this way? Well, in verses 3 through 10, the real estate agent, he's the psalm writer, he shows you the safety features of this place. Let's look at the safety features. He's speaking of the Lord. Beginning at verse 3, he says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." That's the word of the Lord. Those are the safety features of this house. Very impressive, wouldn't you agree? You feel even safer just hearing about this place, seeing these features. In verses 3 and 4, the bird analogy returns. Notice he mentions in verse 3 the fowler's snare. What is a fowler? A fowler is a bird catcher. And so he's the one who's out to trap you and then cook your goose. He's the enemy. But in verse 4, the psalm writer says, "God will shelter you under his feathers and under his wings. Here you will find refuge." The fowler, the prowler, it's got no chance. The bill collector, the layoff, the anxiety, the illness can't catch you here. You are safe. Another safety feature, notice it, safety from illness. He promises safety, he says in verse 3, from the deadly pestilence. Did you notice that? We're going to see that 3 times in this passage. Pestilence, and then again in verse 5, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, the plague that destroys at midday. Some scholars have suggested that this psalm may have been written during a time of plague, by the biblical writer trying to encourage people with the safety that's in the Lord. Either way, whether it happened in an original setting like that or not, does this hit home today or what? I need not fear the coronavirus if I'm in the safe place. You can chalk it off your list of worries. You say, "Now wait a minute, Randy. Time out. Is this psalm saying I'm never going to get sick if I trust God? I mean, it talks about a lot of very precarious things here. Arrows and wars here. Is he promising that a godly person is never going to get sick or physically harmed in any way? Is he saying we can just throw caution to the wind because we're trusting God? Or are you going to tell me that this is just hyperbole here?" And if so, if it's just hyperbole, isn't this psalm just making a bunch of empty promises? Isn't he just pumping sunshine here? What real good is it if this isn't real protection? Well, these are excellent questions. I've asked them myself for years as I've pondered this psalm. But there are better answers than saying that it's just hyperbole. I ask you to wait, however, till we get a little further into the message, into this psalm. But for now, I just want you to feel and experience and look over these fantastic, these too good to be true sounding safety features here in this psalm. Let them sink in for a moment. Just contemplate a place like this. Before you ask, "How can this be?" enjoy the tour of the house for now. Maybe you're thinking, "Okay, I have to admit, it does sound very impressive, very appealing. Yes, it does. Can you see yourself living here? I'm playing the real estate agent now. Can you see yourself living in this place? Wouldn't it be great to call this place home? You say, okay, well, how much does this place cost? How do I afford such a place? Well, the real estate agent answers that question down in verses 9 and 10. He says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near you. You say, now wait a minute. I must have missed it. It almost sounds like he's saying, just move in, you know? Just move in. Don't worry about affording it. Don't go to the bank. Don't worry about any of that. Just move in. Yes, actually, it is as simple as that. I want to show you how to own this home in two simple steps. First of all, it says you change your address. He says, you declare, the Lord is my refuge. All right, so you're not living anywhere else. The Lord is your refuge. Can you say with me, the Lord is my refuge? The Lord is my refuge. I want to encourage you to get into the habit when you find yourself stressing out to say, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. The second step is you dwell under his roof. This is B. A was you change your address. Here is you dwell under his roof. You dwell under his roof. You make the Most High your habitation. You move yourself under his household protection and lordship. You surrender to him. Now back in verse 1 of this psalm, it calls this trust. If I trust in the Most High, these things will be true of me. The place is yours, he says. The Lord is my refuge. This becomes your house, your dwelling place. You say, well, how could it be so cheap? Well, it's not cheap. Don't think for a moment that this place is cheap. In fact, this place is more expensive, more costly than any place on the planet. You name it. No building, no mansion costs more than this. You see, Jesus paid for this place with his own life when he died for your sins on the cross and arose from the dead. That's how he became your safe place of refuge. And when you leave your current place of residence and come under his roof of protection, under his lordship, you find in him forgiveness. You find in him shelter. The Bible has a word for it. It calls this repentance, because you're rejecting your own place. You're declaring the Lord your refuge, and you're coming under his roof. And this is something every believer needs to do every day, to consciously declare that the Lord is my refuge. Let's look at the second benefit of living in the safest place on earth. Number 2 on the outline, and this is angelic guardians. This safe place comes with armed guards, really and truly. And not just typical police officers, great as they are, no criticism of them here. It's not even Secret Service agents, important as they are. It's not special forces. It's much greater than that. These are supernatural guards. The Bible calls them angels. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. He says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." This passage clearly teaches that unseen spirit creatures watch over God's people. But not all Jesus' followers realize this, as we should. And therefore, we miss out on the peace and the security we could have if we would just dwell in that safe place. The dangerous animals that are mentioned in verse 13, lions and snakes and so forth, are they literal or figurative? Well, they could indeed be a poetic way of describing demonic beings. Demonic beings. After all, we are talking about spiritual creatures here. And Scripture often depicts demonic beings as dangerous animals, dangerous creatures. And so, in addition to protecting you against physical dangers, like striking your foot against a stone, you're also guaranteed protection in spiritual warfare. There are no safety hazards in this safe place. You say, "Oh, there you go again, Randy, talking as though we can throw caution to the wind and walk into the face of danger. This psalm is unrealistic." Actually, it can't be that. It cannot be that. How do I know? Because Jesus himself said so. Do you remember? When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, the devil quoted this psalm, verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91, to Jesus. You can find it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. He quotes this very passage, and he urges Jesus with this text to jump off of a very high place, because he says, "Look, this psalm, this scripture passage urges you to do that because the angels will protect you. And so just jump off of this place." But what did Jesus do? He rebuked the devil, saying it was wrong to test God. And in doing so, Jesus himself was showing us that whatever else Psalm 91 is telling us, it's not urging us to walk heedlessly and foolishly into danger. That would be to test God. We're not supposed to do that. And so if somebody uses a passage like this to get you to do something like that, they're using it the way the devil uses it. No, Psalm 91 is saying that when you are in this safe place, that is, you are trusting God, you are doing his will, his angels will protect you from all danger. For instance, if God calls you onto the mission field, you don't need to fear, however dangerous it may be. If God has called you to go there, I'm telling you, you are invincible until it's your time to go. And you're going to go anyway. You may as well go in the center of God's will. But until that happens, you are invincible. If God calls you to be a first responder or a nurse during this crisis, you know that's the calling that God has on your life, then trust him. Don't fear. Declare that the Lord is your refuge and his angels are protecting you. Don't tempt the Lord by doing foolish things, but do what he's called you to do, and you can count on his protection. Let's look at the third benefit of living in the safest place on the planet. Number three on the outline is permanent protection. So far, we've heard from the narrator, right? I've called him the real estate agent, showing us the safe place. We've also heard from the occupant. Remember him back in verse 1 who said, "The Lord is my refuge, I'll declare that." I want to be that occupant all the time. But maybe we're still a little unsure and insecure and afraid. And so now we're going to hear from a third voice in this psalm. This time, it's the builder. It's the maker. It's the owner of the safe place. Look at what he says in verses 14 through 16. "Because he loves me, says the Lord." He's the one talking now, first time in the psalm. "I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." This time, it's not just coming from a real estate agent or from the occupant. It's coming from the owner. It's coming from the Lord himself. Look at these unprecedented promises here. Observe how he keeps restating the same thing in different ways. And then when we finally get to verse 16, at the very end of the psalm, God promises a long life. Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? A long life. How long? Well, again, this is answered fully in Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus says, "I give them eternal life." That's a long life. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." That's that safe place again, right there. John 10:28. "I'm living forever. I am living forever." This is so encouraging. Here's where we find the answer to the objection that Psalm 91 just promises too much, that it's exaggerating. We find in Scripture two perspectives on trials. Two different perspectives. They're both, they work together, they coordinate, they're like hand and glove. First is A, the boots on the ground perspective. This is where we slug it out with pain and suffering and disappointments and loss. We see this perspective in plenty of places in the Bible, like the book of Job, for example, many of the Psalms, the life of the Apostle Paul, many other places, especially in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus. The on-the-ground perspective shows us that God doesn't leave us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because he's been there and he stays with you every step of the way. But then there's B, the second perspective on trials in Scripture, and I call this the Google Earth perspective. This view sees life from up above, where God himself dwells, and sees the beginning and the end. This perspective views the whole picture, including the finale, where the Jesus follower makes it through victoriously. And this is the perspective, we see it in many of the Proverbs and the sayings of Jesus, and we see it here. This is the perspective we're treated to in Psalm 91. This is the bottom line perspective. It's the cut to the chase perspective. It assures you that you're gonna make it, that everything is okay. If you could just see it from the Google Earth perspective. Because in the end, if you've taken refuge in Christ, you are going to be fine. There's nothing to stress out about. The bird's eye view perspective, this Google Earth perspective, it's not at all unrealistic. In fact, think about it. It gives you the whole story, the complete picture, unlike the boots on the ground perspective. This tells you the whole thing. Throughout Psalm 91, we see that this safe place dweller is in some pretty quote-unquote dangerous places, is he not? Arrows flying past you, thousands falling dead around you, pestilence and plague threatening you? This is not some ivory tower here in Psalm 91. You're in the thick of it. This safe place may appear to be the most dangerous place where you could be, but not so, because we're in the Google Earth perspective. How did the martyrs face wild beasts in the arena and being burned at the stake with songs on their lips and smiles on their faces? Do you know that many of their tormentors were so amazed when they saw this kind of thing that many of them converted and became Jesus followers? When plagues ravaged the landscape, Christians amazed everyone by not only having incredible peace during these times, but serving the plague victims on the front lines, and in many cases staying healthier than people who are hiding away. As a result, the Christian church actually exploded as a result of plagues and even persecutions in many times. How did they do it? Well, they lived, you see, in the shelter, in the shadow of the Almighty. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else I say goes like this. When you take shelter in Jesus, you're in the safest place. Friends, let me just quickly share with you. With my condition, I sometimes experience an avalanche of negative emotion. It can be very overwhelming. Some of you can relate. If I didn't have this safe place, I know that, I'm sure this would be life-threatening. And so I'm telling you about this place from real experience, much as I need to grow in it. If you're a Jesus follower like me, you may visit this place even pretty regularly, but maybe you don't live there, knowing you should. I want to live there. I want to be in the center of God's will, fully entrusting myself to the Lord, come what may. Is this you? Let's go. Let's go there together. I'm going to ask the band to come, and we're going to have a closing song here for our service. Normally, we have our offering passed around at this time. Obviously, we're not going to do that today, but there is the opportunity for you to give online, and we have there on the screen the way that you can do that. Why don't we pray together now and just go into the presence of the Lord. Dear God, Most High, Almighty, Lord, Yahweh, Jesus. Lord, right now, I sense your presence here, the shelter of the Most High. I pray this for every person who's hearing my voice, that we would enter into the shelter through Jesus. Lord, maybe there's a person watching today who's saying, I need this for me. I've never been in that shelter. I've heard about Jesus. I've gone to church, but I've never had Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I pray that that person would trust in Jesus right now and connect with us through email or Facebook or text. Would be happy to pray with you and help you in any way that we can minister to you. Father, we ask that you would use every gift given today as an act of worship to you. We love you, Lord, and we commit our tithes and our offerings to you. In Jesus' name, amen.